just want to say something. When we planned this trip, it was an absolute blessing when Mickey picked up and said his pulpit was open. I really need you to hear this. Or I want you to. You don't have to, but I want you to hear it. I told Amy, babe, we get to speak at the River Church. Now, why is that important? Because we go into churches all the time. I'm a Baptist, so I'm going to knock on my own people. Yeah, thank you. Sorry. We've had people walk out when we're speaking because we're bringing this subject of sex from the pulpit. And we have never felt rejected here. We've only felt blessing from you. The only way that that's possible is because God has called a man here to lead you that way. And so we were looking forward to this moment. And so I confessed to Mickey last night. I'm like, man. He goes, I don't have to tell you this, do I? And I'm listening. He goes, you don't have to perform tomorrow. And man, I just started tearing up. Because that's what missionaries, in one sense, we do. We speak. And we're speaking on behalf of God. And we take it seriously. And I'm like, thank you for saying that. So I'm trying my best not to perform. But if it gets a little over the top, just breathe deep, okay? Okay. Thank you for letting me share that part. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we come before you. No greater source or power on this planet than you. We thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you so much for sending him to us. We thank you so much, Jesus, for dying on the cross. We thank you so much, Jesus, for being obedient to death. We thank you so much, Holy Spirit, for coming and being our advocate. We thank you so much, Spirit, for infusing your power into us. We thank you so much, Jesus, for making your word plain. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Spirit, for having the scriptures read so that we can read them. Thank you so much for this moment. God, we come before you as one body, one group, one mind, one heart, and we ask that you make your presence known like you have never seen us feel it before. May we have our hearts opened, our minds opened, our eyes opened, and may we be able to hear the deep whispers of peace and joy and forgiveness from you. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for being with us. We love you for it. We come before you. We want to see Jesus exalted. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. We are missionaries to the Dominican Republic. For those of you who don't know us, my wife and I were called about 4 years ago. Amy, you can go ahead and stand up. This is just killing her. She's not that lady, you know what I mean? And my son Cole, 5 years old, we sensed God moving us to the Dominican Republic, a really tiny island in the Caribbean, but it is the largest one, with the huge problem of sex trafficking, sex tourism. So our mission is to rescue, restore, and renew victims of human trafficking. We thought long and hard about that. We thought about girls of human trafficking, women of human trafficking, but the real brutal truth is when your country is a destination country and it's known for sex tourism, then really everything comes under subjection there. And so one of the blessings that we've had is that God allowed us to be in in full-time ministry to youth for over 17 years. And that's where I first met Steve and Scott, right back there, raise your hand. Steve's son. Scott went on one of our first missions trips internationally, and he lost 25 pounds in that 16-day period. He almost died. I thought I was going to get it in the teeth from Steve when I got back, but praise God, God used him and changed his life. And then Leah, thank you, Leah, for coming. Wow, super cool. But we had 17 years of ministry. It's important for you to know that because we're not like special ops or like anything crazy. We're not like Liam Neeson, you know, kicking down a door and, you know, that's not us. So we do use the word rescue on purpose. We do believe that we are going to rescue, and we've been part of one. It's a miracle. So our mission and our team are not special agents. And it's really important for you to hear that. Because we all have a calling, and Jesus gave it to us. The Son of God, the King of Glory, gave us this calling. Go into all the worlds, even to the very end. And he even makes this bold, brash, over-the-top, crazy, important promise. I will be with you always, even unto the end. It's important for you to know that God has allowed us to raise up a team. And I want you to hear me say it. We're just like you. We put on our pants the same. We have our same worries about our children's and our marriages and our families the same. But God has allowed us to walk into the dark streets of the Dominican Republic, and we've started to see fruit. And so I just want to take a few seconds and explain this to you, and then I would like to really go to the really good stuff, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But I want to tell you a little bit about the ministry. What most believers don't know, most Americans don't know, because it's not in our face, and it's not all over our country, and it's not in every facet of our world, that all of us can participate in actually making a difference in the dark streets where some of the most heinous crimes actually happen. You and me, we can do it. But when we use this word human trafficking and we think of slaves and sex trade and we think of all of that, all of a sudden we do this, and it's only America. Maybe a couple other handful of other first world countries. But we have this idea. Well, that's why we have law enforcement, and so they deal with human trafficking. And so we kind of like close the door, the window. We shut the blinds down on the dark streets. We don't want to look at that. It's important for you to know that there is a universal definition of human trafficking. Human trafficking is a form of modern-day slavery where people profit from the control and exploitation of others. And I want you to hear this. We're not special, but we're self-taught. Okay, so what that means is we've just been allowed to go and learn a lot. And one of our first trips was to Thailand. And God branded us in a very unique way with this trip. And I love to speak inside of churches and actually bring this up because I see it exalting Jesus to a whole new level. One that Americans actually kind of leave behind. That Jesus is the brightest light. God has the most power, and he uses his children, his people, to do it. So look at this picture, this very next picture. So you can imagine we're landing in Bangkok, right? And within 6 hours, we're walking one of the largest red light districts in the world. You may not know this, but Thailand is the sex capital of the world. There's 70 million plus people in this small little country. And everybody knows that when you go to Thailand, this is what you do. So we're walking the red light district, and as we're walking, a team of 13 people, we come across this picture. And I love that we had two photographers. And so we all have, what is that, jet lag, sleep, whatever. You know, you can't sleep, right? Because you're all the way on the other side of the planet. And we're sitting there, and we're all wide awake at 3 in the morning. And Sarah, she goes, guys, you've got to see this. And she took a pic. this one in the left-hand corner. Our devotions came out of Psalms chapter 12, verse 5. And the guy who was leading it, he loved Eugene Peterson's versions. And it says, into the hovels of the poor, into the dark streets where the homeless groan, God speaks. He says, I've had enough. I'm on my way to heal the ache in the heart of the wretched. And I love that. So in an audience like this, full of saints and ain'ts, right? I want to ask you a big question. When you see that picture, who's the slave? Come on. No trickery here. Wow! Yes! You are the first church that's ever said, all of us. Is that true? We always go and people are like, oh, the lady's on the left. No, the guy on the ground. All of them. And that's why I like to come to the body of Christ and say, Jesus, King of glory, sent us to slaves. He sent us to the naked, clothe them. He sent us to the hungry, feed them. And to the captives, free them. That's our Savior. We were walking in that street right there. 13 of us, two of the youngest people with us, in their early 30s, two ladies. And as soon as they walked 100 feet in, they have never felt so much pressure on their heart and eyes in their life. They literally fell to the ground and they started bawling. They'd never seen anything like it. So we had to get them out of there. We did. This guy on the ground that you see, he's got one arm, one leg. And when we saw this, we were like reaching in our pockets, getting ready to give him some money. And our guide, David Grant, says, hey, no, don't do that. And we're like, what? This guy is pushing a can and he's living on the ground and he's saying, give. And his can is pushed with his chin and he's crawling with his arm, give, like this. He goes, it's not going to go to him. The Slumdog Millionaire movie is a true story. K.P. Yohannan actually wrote a book called No Longer a Slumdog because he believes that the power of Christ frees. And K.P. Yohannan, the founder of one of the largest mission agencies in the world, says, just like you see it on Slumdog Millionaire, where they abduct kids, they blind them, they maim them, they cut their arms off, and they send them to a life of slavery, they do that. One of the worst places is India. But I'm not here to talk to you about that. I do want you to see this, though. Look at this next picture. All of what we've learned, we've just had the privilege of seeing some dark things. Now, looking at the picture, does it hurt any of you? Like, right? What it is these two dark shadows here is two bar ladies. We don't call them prostitutes. We kind of try to keep ourselves in check that God has his image on them. And we try to teach people these are bar ladies. Nobody wants to be prostituted. So we're actually standing in there and what they're actually looking at is over to the right, a parade of girls is getting ready to come in, all under the age of about 14 or 15. And they start doing all of these acts in the middle of the night. One of our pastors from Fellowship, our sending church, you guys know him, Marty, was there. And we saw this. The music starts getting louder, the alcohol starts pouring farther, and one by one, this choreographed minor party on that little dance floor, people start coming up and they start taking them. Well, when you see that, you see their faces. They're acting like little girls, you know, goofy, silly. And then as soon as a John comes up and grabs their hand, it's like, whew, life disappears. And so we went back a couple of nights after that, trying to capture it on video because we thought, man, if we could just show people this, it would make a difference. Well, I don't think that's actually what's needed. I think what's actually needed is we need to see Jesus. We need to see the power of Christ. And so God started branding us with all kinds of stories. The very first time I ever went into the Dominican Republic, I had a team. We were on a vision trip. It was a scouting trip, a vision team. And we went into, on the third night, the first bar. We were with an off-duty police officer. And we were like, we want to see if there's people who are being trafficked. And he's like, we paid him $100. He didn't speak any English. And he's like, yeah. Takes us to this place. He's just like, pick a bar. And we're like, no, we want to see slaves, people who can't come out. And he's like, it's 4:00 in the afternoon. He's like, pick a bar. And we're like, that's strange. Maybe he doesn't get the message. So we went into the first bar that we went into, and literally there's 21 prostitutes and one young girl. Well, that's why we're there. So we go over to this girl, and we introduce ourselves via translator. And we were like, hey, would you come out to the street? And she goes, no, I'm not coming out to the street. We're like, no, we don't want sex. We just want to talk to you. No, I'm not coming out to the street. We're like, come on. We'll give you 70 bucks. That's all I had in my pocket. We'll give you 70 bucks. Come out to the street. No. And she screams and says, I'm staying inside. And our interpreter was like, he's very Dominican. He's like, easy, baby girl. You know, this is how he said it. Easy, easy. He goes, we just want to talk to you. And the bar was so loud that we were leaning in like this. We're like, why are you doing this job? She goes, it's the only job I could get. We're like, come on. She goes, it's the only job I can get. We're like, you don't have to do this. She goes, it's the only way I can make money for my 3-month-old baby. We're like, wow. We're like, what if somebody came alongside of you and taught you and actually trained you and helped before we were even done? Given the description of what we thought we could do, she's bawling in the middle of the day in a bar, and she says, that would be a dream come true. And I'm like, stick. It was like God just branded our souls. And then I started feeling horrible, like I'm actually doing this, casting this hope, and I have nothing to offer. I walked away with like this permanent brand on me. And that's why we feel like it's so important to share with the body of Christ. Because everyone's a slave until you meet the hope of glory. Everyone is. But God has this special heart for the naked, the hungry, and the slaves. He's got a special heart for it. So that's where I would like to start. Our mission is to rescue, make a way possible for them to come out, restore them, try to give them a foundation, some healing, and renew them by giving them a pathway. That's what we're about. So I would like you to take a few seconds, and I would like you to watch this video. Are we good with that, Michael? Right, Michael. Would you do me a favor and turn your Bible or your phone to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is the part where I've really been looking forward to. Because I'm normally going 150 miles an hour at this moment. And I burned through this. But I told Mickey, I was like, I'm not going to perform, and I want to share something that God's branded my soul with. And I've looked at it for years. And he's stirring so deep. And I'm asking God to stir deep in you. This beautiful passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look how it starts off. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry. I'm going to read this whole 7 verses, and then we're going to click right through it. But I want you to look and look carefully. Maybe even whisper a prayer to the Lord. Help me perceive. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced the secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, covered, hidden under a bushel, in the backyard, under the carpet, closed up, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to only one person, no other person but this group of people. Veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But, listen to it. Listen to the English words. But, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing, say it with me, all-surpassing. Now say it again. All-surpassing. Say it again. All-surpassing. Power is from God and not of us. Say it again. All surpassing. Here, try it again. All surpassing. All right, I'm going to do it on the count of 3, and you need to like give it from your gut a little bit. Kind of like Tom did. Thank you, brother. 1, 2, 3. All surpassing. Are you thinking about that? Okay, so first off, let's start off this way. All of us have a ministry. It's not just missionaries to the Dominican Republic. It's not just pastors. We've all got one. Now, what is that ministry? Our ministry given to us by God Almighty is truly this: to display mercy. So by the mercy of God, we have this ministry. What is that ministry? You might be thinking, well, Tom's got the ministry. He's the one up here with the guitar. Well, Mickey's got the ministry. He's the one behind the pulpit. Well, Steve's got the ministry. He's the one who stirs up chocolate. Well, you know, Michael's the one with the ministry because he's the one with the computer. Nope. No computer back then. Therefore, since by God's mercy we have this ministry, we don't quit. We don't give up. We don't lose heart. What's that ministry? To make disciples. All over the world, right here in Lyons. Sister, you're supposed to make a disciple. I don't know you, but you're supposed to. Brother, you're supposed to make a disciple. You're supposed to make a disciple. You're supposed to reconcile man to God Almighty. And how are we to do that?
By God's mercy.
So maybe you're confused, because I was for a long time. What's that mercy? Is it the Awanas program? Is it after you get married? What's the mercy? The mercy is this. All have sinned and fallen short. But by God's mercy, if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. By God's mercy. So the mercy that you've been given when we receive Christ, that mercy we take and we go give it. That mercy, we go show it. That mercy, we go speak it. Anybody who's named Jesus as your Savior, that's the mercy. Anybody who's been forgiven of one sin, that's the mercy. Do you remember the day when you received Christ? Have you thought about how many sequences happened for that divine appointment for you? How many people God put into place to reveal that majesty and mercy that you needed a Savior? That we needed a Savior? That God was going to reveal His mercy to you. And He was going to uncover it. And He was going to tell you, you're forgiven. Welcome into the family of God. That's the mercy. That's the ministry. We all have it. So you might be sitting here thinking, well, if we have a ministry, what? And it's not this. It's coming out of each one of our lives. What is that? Well, let me show you. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. We show the mercy of God by loving people. We show the mercy of God. This is crazy. The same way, when we're down on the strip in the Dominican Republic, they can spot us. We don't even have to have a light. We just carry this light. When we actually get to the conversation point of, wow, why are you guys doing this? It's just like you last night serving chocolate. Do you know how many people, I was only there for like, what, 20 minutes? How many people come up and they just said this? Wow, I just love you guys. Why do you do this? One couple come up and said, we really appreciate what you guys do. They're seeing mercy. They're seeing light. They can't say it. They just, man, we just love what you guys do. Didn't they? They were like, what are you guys? Why? Oh, we're from the church, the River Church. Why? And I've actually heard Christians say, you know, I don't know. Just take the cup of coffee. No, they didn't do that last night. We actually did know what we were saying. But I've actually heard Christians say, oh, you know what? I don't know why. Why don't you go talk to the pastor, the person who's got the ministry? That's you and I. That's our job. Display. Everybody's got a ministry. Did you know everybody's got a message? Yeah, everybody's got a message. You're preaching something, whether you know it or not. You think the preacher's up here? No, ma'am. No, sir. We are all preachers. We're preaching our jobs, number one. We're preaching our hobbies, number one. We're preaching America's number one. We're preaching our lust is number one. We're preaching our values are number one. Whatever it is, we're speaking and preaching a message. It doesn't matter who you are. You are speaking a message. From birth to the grave, you are preaching. We've all got a message. And some of us only show half of it on Sunday morning. Some of us might go to our devotional Bible studies and creep it open a little farther. But when you go to work and you get up and you put your pants on and you get out that door, you're preaching. You are saying something. When you let somebody go before you, you are saying something. When you take it from somebody, you are saying something. When you give it, you're saying it. When you take it, you're saying it. It's coming out of you. You can't stop it. If you're a recluse backside of some mountain somewhere, you're preaching. You're speaking. The real question is, do you know that that message is heading for one person? If you know Jesus, that message goes for one person. It either misses him or it hits him. And it's the one who doesn't know them. It's the one who's dying. Do you know why? Because the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. He's done it, and he's clever, he's crafty. He's so good, he's deceived you and I. He's so good, he spends time planting stuff in your head that says, oh, you know what, I can't do that, gotta go talk to the pastor. He spends time saying, you know what, I don't think Jesus is gonna come through for me like he comes through for that missionary guy. He's good at what he does. He is all about doing one thing, blinding you and me to keep us from seeing the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And do you know where that comes out at? God's image. Do you know who has God's image? Thank you, brother. We all do. We were created in the image of God. We carry that image. But there's something really metaphysical about this that we don't understand. It's literally metaphysical. It goes beyond reality of how we perceive. Our imperial scientific minds kick in, and we somehow believe that God is not all-surpassing in his ability and power. We somehow believe, after we receive Christ, that that power kind of subsides and then it goes on. Or we somehow believe, you know what, there's no way I can reach that person. Somebody else is going to have to do that. Or we're driving down and we come to the stop sign and there's a man or a woman or a few with a postcard. Work for food, hungry. Oh, you know what? I've heard stories about those people. They're probably wealthier than me. I've heard stories. They chose that life. One of the hardest things I've had to do is rework my mind and rework my heart that God has anointed you and me for the advancing of that light, that glory, the majesty of Jesus in the face of Jesus in you and I. He did that. He's got him blind. He's got us blind. You know, that's for the gifted person over there. I don't think I could ever do that. I'm telling you. The God of this age has captured you. You know, I'm too old to do this. The God of this age has captured you. You know what? That's for the drummer. I couldn't do that. The God of this age has captured you. You know what? I'm not learned enough, skilled enough, or what? The God of this age has captured you because Jesus said, all surpassing power. All surpassing. That's the kind of power that you see on superhero movies. I I'd like to share a few stories. When we're in the street, we have come to terms with this. We call them the dark streets, but you've got them too. We call our streets the dark streets. So when you're walking the strip, we never go alone. We're always with somebody. We are never alone by ourselves. And it's interesting, when the bar ladies and the hustlers see us, they're like, hola. Bro, what's your name? Lewis, why don't you get up, man? All right. So Lewis is the American or foreigner walking the street. And he's coming this way, right? And when a hustler or bar lady sees him, they're like, hola, papi! And you don't want to have to grab me. No, I'm serious. Literally. It's no say right there. They're like, hola, papi! And sometimes there's more than one. There are to be two or three ladies. And what they're doing is all kinds of gestures. And they're coming. And they're, if you're not careful, going to grab you places you've never been grabbed before in public. And so all of a sudden, they're like, hola, papi! And they just start to grab your nipples. And they just go for it. And it took us a while to like, no, thank you. So now, in our vision teams, we train for this. Why? Because the God of this age has blinded those minds. Stay right there, brother. You're not going down. The God of this age has blinded them. They can't see. So from the age of 13 until they're done with the street, they say, if I'm going to get paid, I've got to do something here. Hola, papi means hi, daddy. So if I grab him just right, he's going to be okay. And so all of their life, can you see this? 13 years old, they're reaching, they're grabbing. And what does somebody who's blind do? Yeah, come on. What can I get for free? All of their life. Now get your mind around this. Lewis, right? So you don't have to say hola, pop. But I'd like you to come towards me with your hands. See? Oh, he said it. Ready? Now we're always in two, right? No gracias. No gracias, no gracias, no sexuales, no sexuales. Have a seat. Now, can you imagine this? Since the age of 13, they go to the street and they touch, they touch, they touch, they touch, they get used, they get used, they get used, they get hurt, they get hurt, they get hurt. And then for the first time, somebody comes along and says, no, 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 no gracias. Hey, what's your name? What's your name? What's your name? My name's Roxy. Come on, papi, come on. Like, beautiful name, Roxy. Come on, can I get you a drink? Can I buy you something to eat? And if you get this, like, no, look, move on. If you get this, why? Look, say, hey, I just want to hear your story. Come on, I'll buy you something to eat at that restaurant right there. Oh, papi, come on. No, 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 gracias. What's happening? For the first time in their life, the light in the image of Christ, that all-surpassing power, has struck. It's hit. And so they sit down. They're expecting the shoe to drop. They're expecting the meal to be paid for some way. They do tricks for a beer, bottle of beer. A hustle is a hustle. Whatever I can get. How low are you willing to go? For the first time, they sit down across men and women, our wives and friends, and they hear somebody say, so tell me, where are you from? What's your name? How many family friends? How big is your family? Do you live here? What's your dreams? What would you like to do when you're done with this job? And we're looking for truth tellers. Sometimes we don't hear truth tellers until after we've gone and we start reflecting, wow, that one was a truth teller. Like Joanna. I didn't see a truth teller in front of me. This was our first time. I asked her what her dream was. And literally, she was trying to answer, but it was consistent. We ran into her the second night. The second night, we're like, hey, what would you like to eat? She was, I'd like to order the wings. Basket of 30, we're like, okay, chow down, sister. We start asking her these questions. After she eats only four, she's like, can I share some of these with my friends? And in a nanosecond, there were a group of five or six ladies were on the street. You can't get into a bar unless you've got a host. They're starving, and they're standing out there outside the bar, and she's like, that's my friend. Joanna is like, turned sideways. She's in a chair looking at the table at the wings. She turned sideways. All of a sudden, one girl comes in, grabs four, goes back to the street, start eating. With all the commotion, we didn't know until after we left. Joanna's a truth teller. She just saw light for the first time. She wasn't touched. She wasn't hurt. She was loved, and the bride of Christ came to her door. She's like, I hate this job. I want you to hear one more story. Being a Christ follower, get this out of your head, is not safe. I'm as guilty as sin on this. Jesus never called us to safety. He never called us to protect. He called us to take a risk. Be bold. He leaves the throne room of his Father and comes to earth to be hurt. So one night we're actually out on the street. The guy you saw in there with the beard on that video, he's hungry, he wants some pizza, so we went in and got some pizza. We come out at about 10:30, and this little Kalmado that we passed, to our right, it's the country. To our left, it's the bars, and our hotel is on the other side of the bar. Straight out, the ocean. And we come out of this, and we see this group of 50 in this all-out brawl, and they're beating each other with bottles, and they're like doing this. And Luis is like, Keith, we have got to get out of here. And I'm like, where are we going to go? Do you see any place to sleep over there? We've got to go that way. And he's like, Keith, these tourist police will shoot and ask questions later. I said, Luis, we're going that way, and we need to figure it out. And so literally, I got to be honest, a little nervous, a little on the edge, kind of all amped up, you know? And we start trying to creep around between the ocean and the crowd. We start trying to creep around. It got to a point that we're on our knees crawling through a bunch of tourist tables. We get out on the other side. There's a soldier with an Uzi and a little earpiece, and he's looking at the crowd. We look at him, we look down, and there's this guy eating chicken like this. Like it's a TV movie. Like, what's going to happen next? Well, earlier that day, we were praying on the beach. We come up against a brick wall. Luis and I were praying. And this hustler, Miguel, he stands and waits until we're done praying. He's like, hey, amigos, I help you. We're like, no, I get you cocaine, I get you marijuana, I help you. We're like, no, thank you, we're Christians, can't you see? We just prayed, you know. No, it's okay, in the Dominican Republic, it's totally okay, I help you. We're like, no, we're not interested. He goes, come on, I help you, I'll get you a girl. You know, it's a big booty, little booty, I'll get you, I'll help you. We're like, dude, married, hello, you know. He was so persistent, He follows us. And he's asking us, why are you guys here? The whole night, why are you guys here? And we found out that there was going to be a huge concert and a lot of people on the strip, so we stayed an extra night. But we kind of blew him off. And when we come out from around there, there's Miguel. Amigos, I help you. And we're like, Miguel, let's get out of here. We literally go into one of the loudest bars. We're on the edge. And he's like, why are you guys here? Why aren't you guys with girls? Why aren't you? And I'm still saying, no, not going to tell you. I learned a big lesson that night. Luis looks at me. He goes, you got to tell him. I said, I'm not going to tell him. I turned a question on him. I said, Miguel, why are you here? And he winds up being a truth teller. And he says that he's hollow on the inside and that he has no purpose and he's just trying to make money and he hates it. He's a hustler. He's a rat. He would like to stab you in the back and take what you've got. He's a rat. And I said, Miguel, you need Jesus. And in the middle of the bar at 3 o'clock in the morning, Miguel bawls to receive Jesus. And I am saying this, the light of the image of Christ showed up in 2 missionaries on the strip in the darkest street to the ugliest soul, and a light turned on and it came to life. Miguel received Christ radically because light came to him. It was unveiled, and mercy poured out on his soul, and he felt it. And he prays. He goes, why are you guys here? We proceeded to tell him. God will go anywhere you go, and his light is on you, whether you can see it or not. If you will unveil it, he will embolden you, empower you, and lives will change. Just like at chocolate marshmallows and cookies, there's light glowing. People can't see it, but why are you here? They don't know unless you tell them, but they see the light. What if we actually believe that God is all surpassingly powerful? What if we did? What if we actually lived that way? That he is infinitely wealthier, powerful than you could possibly imagine. What if we lived that way? How would you behave? What would you think? How would you do things differently? What if you actually said, wow, Jesus forgave me, and I went from death to life. Maybe I can forgive my family member. Maybe I can pour out the same mercy that God gave me to them. I'll tell you this last, and I'll be done. Jars of clay. This all-surpassing power resides in your physical body. Expect the evil one to try to pressure you and hurt you and kill you. Because he's tried to do that with us. Since the day we set foot in the country, I almost drowned. I was in ICU trying to rescue 3 men. They asked the same question, why are you here? What did you do that for? God saved us. Our ministry partner was cutting bushes up in the mountains. There's not a hospital really close. The cutters hit his wrist, severed the artery in 2. It's literally like this. The kids are like, Dad's going to die, you know, like that. Rachel goes, we'll take it down the mountain. Nate looks at her, he goes, no, we're not going to make it down the mountain. I'm going to die. Let's get you to the clinic. There's not a doctor at the clinic. He's like, all right, let's go to the nearest one. I'm not going to make it. He was certain he was going to die. On this particular day, the all-surpassing Father showed up. He walks into the clinic, and on this particular day, the number one surgeon from Holmes, the biggest hospital, is volunteering in the clinic. That's because the all-surpassing power of God was present. He spends 3 days in the hospital. He's lost a lot of blood. The saints were rallied. After less than an hour of being at the clinic, in comes a bunch of missionaries saying, "Does he have my blood type? Can I give blood?" The saints are rallied because all-surpassing power showed up. We had the privilege to go because of a donor to the Philippines. My wife is very reserved, but all four of us were on the street in Angel City. Before we went there, we're going from one safe house to the next at this ministry. And as she's walking down the sidewalk in the middle of the night, there's this wire. And this wire stabs her in the eye. She can't even see it. It gives her an 1/8-inch cut and a 1/16-inch abrasion. And her eye is bleeding. We spend the remainder of that night going to one of the most archaic eye doctors in the planet. And he's literally drawing the picture. There's no medical 21st century anything. And he's like, "This is going to take forever to heal. You better just prepare for the next 6 weeks. You're going to have to wear this patch." And my wife's like, "I did not come across the country, the world, to wear a patch." So that night, all of our team gets around and we're praying over her like crazy. It's so exhausting, so painful. We're praying, we're laying hands on her, and what? Wow. Doesn't James talk about that? Any of those of you who need healing, bring them before the elders. Where two or three are gathered, Jesus is right there. And we pray, and we're praying, and we're asking God. So we go out the first night, and Amy's at the hotel with a patch on. She's exhausted. We come back. We've seen some unbelievable things. I would never have time to share all this stuff with you. So she's like, "I can't stand this. I didn't come here for this." So we pray for a couple of hours. She pulls off the patch. There's only one tiny red spot. It's gone. On that particular night, we're in the hotel room and we're praying and we're starting off with Bluetooth worship. This is what we do. We pray, we ask God to anoint us, we ask Him to cleanse our minds. We're going into the pit where all the blind people are, the ones who want hope, the ones who hate hope. We're going in and so we're asking God to anoint us. 3 hours goes by like that, and when we open up our eyes, no lie, in the middle of this prayer time, 3 ladyboys come in. They look like girls. 3 men that look like girls come into this hotel room. The founder of Wipe Every Tear says, "These are my friends. I want you guys to meet them. The one in particular, Danielle." Danielle, he says, to our surprise, is going to be your guide tonight. And we're like, "No, thank you. But you see, we're a Christian." Literally, it's twisted. The all-surpassing power showed up. As we're worshiping, they're literally doing this. And when we're done praying, "Hi." And Danielle proceeds to lead us into one bar after another. 30 minutes in, after seeing 20 bars where there's people up there, and you're like, "Let's start doing what we came here for." "Nope, not here. Come on, follow me." Looks into another one, looks around. "Mm-mm." We're like this big, huge circus, white parade. You know, we're walking in. Everybody's eyes are on us. And we're walking in, and we're walking out, walking in, walking out. And it's nuts. And I'm like, I told Nate, I'm like, "Nate, you tell this guy we're going to sit down at the next bar. Figure it out." He comes up, he's like, Why aren't we stopping and talking to the bar ladies? No, not here. Come on. We go into this one bar. You walk in. Get your mind on this. Listen, listen, listen right here. You walk in. There's kind of a three or four bleacher stands like this, all wooden. Then there's this wooden stage, and it's lined tight with bar ladies, and they're going like this. And all they're doing is they're looking to meet your eyes. And then you choose a number. Daniel's like, yep, this is where we're going to stay. You guys sit down. And then Danielle says, I'll take you. Come on, sit down, honey. And sets a bar lady between Amy and I. Amy goes, my name's Amy. We're going to call this girl M. She goes, my name's M. Amy's like, where are you from? What's your dreams? How long have you been working here? M says, I've been working here for 3 months. Amy goes, do you like it? She goes, no, I hate it. She goes, why'd you start working here? They told me I was going to make a lot of money, and so I came here. Amy's like, we represent a group of people who will be glad to help you. And they can give you an education. They can give you a job. You can make money. They'll take care of you. They'll put you in a house. They will give you food to eat. And she's like, that would be amazing. She goes, all you got to do is come back tomorrow. Meet us at the Stripit Hotel. We'll have a bus. All expenses paid. You come and see. You come and see where this can happen. And we'll take you there. We'll feed you. And we'll, if you say no, you can go right back. Wow. They kept talking. She's like, I hate this job. Why do you hate this job? Because I haven't made a dime. Why haven't you made a dime? Because they consider me a virgin. And they got my head at $2,000 and nobody's going to buy me. Now you think about this for a second. How much blindness has to happen when somebody says, nobody's buying me? When somebody says, somehow I'm not being sold. When somebody says, I hate this job because I'm not making money. What has to transpire? Well, the all-surpassing power showed up. And we wait for an hour. Then we go on to 2 hours. No M. We were all busted and deflated. We go on to Taiwan, where we actually saw the second largest house of pleasure in the world. Blind. Deaf. In the middle of that trip, we get a text from the founder. Shows us a picture. M is with two of his volunteers. She came out 2 weeks later. She is around a bunch of Christians being loved on, and her hope and dream, our hope and prayer, is that she sees the bride of Christ. She sees the light. She's experiencing love, light, hope. She hasn't named the name of Jesus yet, but we're praying that way. Now, what if us, we decided God is all surpassing? What would happen? What would happen? Would lions come to Christ? What would happen? I love you guys. Absolutely grateful that you listen. God bless you.